are so thankful this evening, Father, to have this opportunity to come before you and to say thank you, Lord, for your many blessings. Thank you, Lord, for a day that we have never seen before. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to be able to hear your message proclaimed without fear of anyone hindering our right to do so, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the blessing of the gospel that you have given us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for the blood he shed at Calvary. Thank you, Lord, for the empty tomb in which you raised him for our justification, Lord. Thank you for the church that he built and purchased with, Lord. Thank you for the gospel message that Brother Harper will proclaim this evening. Pray, Lord, that it pricks all of our hearts, Lord, to consider our own circumstance. Pray, Lord, that we work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Pray, Lord, there's a soul listening who wants to obey tonight, Lord. Pray that someone will be touched, someone's conscience will be pricked. Pray that Brother Harper proclaim unto them those basic Bible truths about your son and his church that they need to know. And when he extends heaven's invitation, pray, Lord, that someone is willing to be baptized. Heavenly Father, we ask that you bless us with the increase. We know that your word will not return to you void. We ask this prayer in Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Flung. We're grateful to work with you as well in the Manhattan Heights congregation. We're so thankful for your support as my co-host, and we're very appreciative to all those who are involved. And I do want to do a great shout-out to all those who are supporting us financially. We have not solicited, but you all are still sending the funds in, and we appreciate you so very much. To those who are on the call tonight who are not members of the Church of Christ, you are very honored, and you are the distinguished guest of our audience, and we appreciate you so very much for being on the call. Now, we pray that you will take your Bible and open it up and take your pencil, pen, and paper and take notes of the things that our speaker will speak about tonight and pay particular attention to what you must do to save your soul. This is what this is all about. This is about saving your soul. Thank you for allowing us to come into your home for 30 minutes. The speaker tonight is the person of Brother Ron Harper from the Salem Creek Church of Christ in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, and so excited to have him on the call. He's a native of Birmingham, Alabama, and he's going to bring us a message tonight, and we have assigned him a topic according to our theme, for what said the scripture about the honest and good heart. All week we've been talking about the heart. We've been doing heart surgery, talking about the mind, y'all. So tonight, Brother Harper, what said the scripture about the honest and good heart? Tell us about that.
Thank you very much, Brother Brooks. I am so honored to be a part of this gospel meeting call, and I believe you brethren are doing a tremendous thing here, getting the gospel out to people who so desperately need it in these times in which we live. We're being very challenged to find ways to continue to spread the word and serve the Lord, and you're doing that, and I commend you for that. I want to ask you to open your Bible with me tonight to the 8th chapter of Luke's gospel. We're going to read a passage that begins at verse 4, Luke chapter 8, beginning at verse 4. The Bible says that when a large crowd was coming together, and those from various cities were journeying to him, he spoke by way of a parable. The sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some seed fell by the road, and it was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up. Other seed fell on rocky soil, and as soon as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it out. Other seed fell into the good soil, and it grew up and produced a crop 100 times as great. He said these things. He would call out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." His disciples began questioning him as to what this parable meant. And he said, "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those beside the road are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they will not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky soil are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no firm root. They believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. The seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard, and as they go on their way, they're choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life, and they bring forth no fruit to maturity. But the seed on the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. The human body is totally dependent on the heart. If the heart is not pumping blood through the body very quickly dies. If a human being develops heart trouble, we consider that to be a very serious health issue. The heart doesn't seem all that big. You know, it's just about the size of your fist. Yet that heart beats an average of around 115,000 times every single day. During that 24 hours period, it pumps the equivalent of 2,000 gallons of blood. That beating you hear through the stethoscope is the opening and closing of the valves of your heart. Over the course of a lifetime, the heart never takes a break. It beats continuously. How many times does that heart beat during a life of 70 or 80 or more years? How many gallons of blood are pumped through those 60,000 miles of blood vessels that make up your vascular system? What happens to us if we do not preserve the health of our hearts? It is arguably the most important part of our bodies. So is our spiritual heart. Joseph Stoll said that heart is used in Scripture as the most comprehensive term for the authentic person. It is that part of our being where we desire, deliberate, and decide. It has been described as the place of conscience and decisive spiritual activity, the comprehensive term for a person as a whole, his feelings, desires, passions, thoughts, understanding, and will, and the center of a person, the place to which God turns. Now, Scripture makes it clear that God takes a keen interest in what's going on in our hearts. When Samuel was sent to the house of Jesse to anoint a new king for Israel, he was impressed with his oldest son, one by the name of Eliab, the very firstborn son. And he said in 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 6, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." God had other ideas, you know. But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For God sees not as man sees. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart," 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 7. Did you notice, friend, that in that verse, the Lord told Samuel, God looks at the heart. And so we take as our text for tonight, Luke chapter 8 and verse 15, and what we know is the parable of the sower, and a parable is nothing more than a story that Jesus told to illustrate important spiritual truth. He concluded that story on a positive note in Luke chapter 8. He says that other seed fell into the good soil. It grew up and produced a crop 100 times as great. Luke chapter 8 and verse 8. Well, the disciples wanted to know, what does the parable mean? The Lord explained it in such a way that we can understand. The seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart, and hold it fast and bear fruit with patience. And so I want to ask you the question tonight, friend. Do you have an honest and good heart? That is of the utmost importance, because God, who sees everything, who knows everything, who has all power, is able to see every thought that is in your heart. There are many different types of hearts, or several different types of hearts, as we see in this parable in Luke chapter 8. In the parable of the sower, Jesus talked about hard wayside soil. He talked about the rocky soil, the thorny soil. He also talked about the good soil. If you look at it that way, there were in all four different types of soil. But you know, someone has said, in reality, that in that story, there are only two types of soil, two categories of soil, if you will. There is good soil and there is bad soil. In other words, hearts are either good or they're bad. Now look at the bad hearts in the story that Jesus told. In the first place, there are the hard hearts. In the parable of the sower, Jesus said that some people have hard hearts. some seed fell by the road. And if you are not familiar with what Jesus is talking about there, imagine that in ancient times, people walked on dirt roads. Often those roads ran beside the fields. And after years of having people walk on them, the soil would be packed very, very hard, almost as hard as concrete. The seed that fell on that soil couldn't penetrate the hard soil, and so it just lay there, waiting to either be crushed underfoot or picked up and eaten by the birds. The end result of that was that seed that fell on that soil produced absolutely no fruit. Well, you know, there are some hearts that are so hard that the Word of God cannot penetrate it. In Luke chapter 8, Jesus went on to make an application of that story. He explained it in great detail, and he was talking about the Word of God falling upon the heart that is hardened. And he said this, "The devil comes and takes away the Word from their heart so that they will not believe and be saved." Luke chapter 8 and verse 18. You see, that's why some people listening tonight have not been saved. They have allowed the devil to come and take away the seed of the Word of God. If you want an example of what a hard heart looks like, think about that time in the Old Testament when God called Moses to go to Egypt. God told him that when you get back to Egypt, see that you perform before Pharaoh all the wonders which I have put in your power, but I will harden his heart so that he will not let the people go, Exodus chapter 4 and verse 21. Now, that seems rather cruel to some people, the thought that God would actually harden someone's heart and then punish them for having a hard heart. But when God said, "I will harden his heart," in no sense does that mean that God came along and overpowered a good man and ruined his heart. Pharaoh, you know, was the ruler who would very arrogantly say when Moses went to him and told him, "The Lord says, let my people go. Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and besides, I will not let Israel go." Exodus chapter 5 and verse 2. So he's not a good man. He isn't a good man who has a soft, teachable, innocent heart, and all of a sudden, one day, God came along and hardened that heart and ruined it. He was a man who says in arrogance, "I don't know the Lord, and besides that, I'm not going to allow his people to go." Now, Pharaoh was fully involved in the hardening of his heart. God sent all of these 10 plagues upon the Egyptians. And in Exodus chapter 8 and verse 15, after God stopped the plague of the heart, the Bible tells us that Pharaoh hardened his heart. And so God said that he would harden his Pharaoh's heart. Pharaoh hardened his own heart. And then look at what happens in Exodus chapter 9 and verse 12. God said that he would harden Pharaoh's heart, remember. And so verse 12 of Exodus 9 says, "The Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he did not listen to them, just as the Lord had spoken to Moses." Again, notice the sequence. God says, "I'm going to harden his heart." Pharaoh, who is a wicked man, hardened his own heart. And then God did exactly as he said he would do. Understand, please, that hard hearts are hearts like Pharaoh's, hearts that refuse to hear the voice of God. They reject the evidence that is before them. And a lot of times that evidence is full, it's always clear, it's always in abundance. In the 11th chapter of John's Gospel, Jesus went to the tomb and raised Lazarus from the dead. Well, because he raised Lazarus from the dead and people could see Lazarus knowing that he'd been dead, knowing that he'd been in the grave, they started to believe in Jesus. Well, the Bible tells us in John chapter 12, verses 10 and 11, that some people who didn't like Jesus and wanted to kill him, the chief priest, planned to put Lazarus to death also because on account of him, many of the Jews were going away and we're believing in Jesus. Think about that. Here are some men who cannot dispute the fact that Lazarus has been raised from the dead. They know he's been raised from the dead, but their hearts are so hard that rather than accept the obvious truth, they plot to put him to death again. Their hearts were so hard, that they would plot to kill a man whom Jesus had just raised from the dead, not even considering that Jesus certainly had the power to raise him from the dead the second time or even a third time. Hard heart refused to listen to the word of God and accept it. Well, in Luke chapter 8, in the story that Jesus told, we see that there are also crowded hearts. In this story, Jesus talked about the seed that fell among the thorns. The thorns grew up with it, choked it out, Luke chapter 8 and verse 7. Sometimes the word of God falls on hearts that are sensitive, perhaps to a degree, but they're choked with worries and riches and the pleasures of this life, and the end result is that they bring forth no fruit to maturity. That's the explanation that Jesus gave in Luke chapter 8 and verse 14. Friends, be careful. Do not allow your heart to become spiritually distracted. Do not allow it to become crowded. There are so many things that can do that, just like those thorns and weeds choked out the seed that was sown by the sower. There are so many things that can crowd our hearts so that the word of God finds no permanent lodging place there. Jesus mentioned things like worries, riches, pleasures. I wonder how many people are spiritually distracted right now by all of the negative things that surround us. When things were shut down because of this virus, I wonder, did you allow your spiritual life to be shut down as well? Did you get consumed with worry so that you shut down all spiritual activity going on inside your heart? Do you get so busy trying to make another dollar that you can't find time to get close to God? Do you more easily recite the roster of your favorite sports team or the Word of God? Which is it? I have known some Christians who can recite the career statistics of athletes who retired 50 years ago, but can't quote more than a verse or two of Scripture. I'd say those are some hearts that are crowded with things that ought not to be there. What about the person who checks the stock market report every day without fail, but hasn't read the Bible in weeks? I'd say your heart is too crowded with the things of this world. And you know, friends, sometimes it is sin that distracts us. Jesus issued a warning in Matthew chapter 5, verses 27 through 28, when he said, "I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart." And there was a man in the Old Testament who was referred to as a man after God's own heart. We know him as King David. In 2 Samuel chapter 11, he allowed lust to take up space in his heart and crowd out his spirituality. The tragic end results were adultery and murder. He had a crowded heart. It was crowded with sin on that fateful night. How many of us allow material things to crowd our hearts? There was a young man who came to Jesus with an important question, the most important question of all. He asked Jesus, "What good thing shall I do that I may obtain eternal life?" Matthew chapter 19 and verse 16. Jesus' answer to that question challenged him at the deepest spiritual level. He said to that young man, "If you wish to be complete, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor. You will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." That's in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 21. Well, you know, the Bible says that the man went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property. And friends, I would suggest to you that he had that crowded heart. There were some thorns and there were some weeds, and they choked out the word of God. In the story that Jesus told in Luke chapter 8, there are also some very shallow hearts. There was a shallow heart. Some seed fell on rocky soil. Now, that's not necessarily talking about soil that has a lot of small rocks and pebbles, and it is really talking about a shallow layer of soil that lay on top of a large ledge of rock. Well, seeds could penetrate that shallow soil because it was warm, not much depth to it, and so very quickly warm with the warmth of the sun. But because the soil was shallow, roots could not develop. The plants quickly withered because there was no moisture in the soil. There was a lack of depth. Some people fail to develop spiritual roots. When they ought to be digesting the strong meat of the word, they're still on the baby's diet of milk. And you read Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 through 14, and the writer talks about how he is hindered in his ability to teach them deep spiritual things of the word, not because they don't know how to read, but because they're still taking that baby's diet of milk when they ought to be digesting the meat of the word of God. They never grow, they never develop, they suffer from spiritual malnutrition. But then there is another kind of heart in this parable that Jesus told. Think about one more time the fact that there are two categories here. There's bad soil and there's good soil. There are bad hearts and there are good hearts. Well, in the parable that Jesus told, some of the seed fell into the good soil. It grew up and it produced a crop 100 times as great. Luke chapter 8 and verse 8. How would you like to have the type of soil that will produce a 100-fold crop? I want you to listen to the Lord's explanation of that in Luke chapter 8 and verse 15. The seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart, hold it fast, and bear fruit with perseverance. In the Bible, our hearts are always crucial to our relationship to God. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 6. God said to Israel through Moses, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart." Let me repeat that statement from Moses. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And then he said, you take these words that I'm commanding, you put them in your heart. Now, on occasion, Jesus was asked to identify the greatest command. And when he did, he always came back to this one. There was a lawyer who came to Jesus and asked him a question, testing him, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment of the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." Matthew 22, verses 36 and 37. Why did Jesus identify that as the greatest command? I believe the answer to that is simple. If we love the Lord with all of our being, we will be willing to do whatever the Lord requires. The night our Lord was betrayed, he said in John chapter 14, verse 15, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Rather than suggesting that if we love Jesus, it really doesn't matter whether or not we obey him, the Bible teaches that if we truly love him, we will do whatever he commands. You know, there's some folks today who say, well, it doesn't really matter if you obey the Lord so long as you love him. You don't get that idea from the Bible. Jesus never said it. In fact, he said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So if we want to live in fellowship with God, it is absolutely essential that we love him with all of our hearts. That's where an honest and a good heart begins. Let me challenge you tonight. Do you love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Do you love Jesus Christ more than you love anything or anyone? Then there is the receptive heart. If we have a good and honest heart, we're going to have a receptive heart. Let's think for just a few moments about the characteristics of a good and honest heart. An honest and good heart is going to be receptive to the Word of God. In the application of the story that he told, Jesus said, the seed is of the good soil. These are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart. Are you listening? And hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. Luke 8 and verse 15. Notice that Jesus said, we'll receive that word and hold it fast. We'll hold on to it. We won't turn loose of it. That is what a receptive heart really is. James 1 and verse 21 says that we're to lay aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, and in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. I don't want to be that hard-hearted person who refuses to listen to God. Be like that newborn babe and long for the pure milk of the word so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. Be a receptive heart. I want to store that word in my heart so that I can overcome sin. Psalm 119, verse 11 says, your word have I treasured in my heart that I might not sin against you. When we fill our hearts with the word of God and meditate on it, there's going to be no room for Satan. And so an honest and good heart is a receptive heart. An honest and good heart is also a submissive heart. Most of us, by the way, like to have our own way. We want to be our own boss. That might be fine in the business world, but it does not work in our relationship with God. There was a Jewish man named Saul. He spent all of his energy fighting against Jesus. He was on his way to Damascus to persecute the disciples of Jesus, and along the way he saw the Lord. When he understood that Jesus is Lord, he had one simple question. What shall I do, Lord? Acts chapter 22 and verse 10. And by the way, we know that person as the Apostle Paul when he finally was made to understand that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He had only one question. Lord, what do you want me to do? He had a submissive heart. If I have an honest and good heart, I'm not going to insist on my way. I'm not going to argue with the word of God. I'll be submissive to Christ. I will recognize that he is Lord and that I am his obedient servant. There can only be one Lord, and that's not me. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15 that there is but one Lord. And friends, that's Jesus Christ. Are you trying to be the Lord of your own life, or do you have a submissive heart? Jesus asked a question that challenges every one of us in Luke 6 and verse 46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? And so if I have a good and honest heart, I'm going to have a receptive heart. I'm going to have a submissive heart. Finally, I'm going to have an humble heart. When Jesus was asked about the first commandment, he also identified the second when he said, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, Matthew 22 and verse 39. And of course, that comes straight out of the Old Testament, Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. You know, the honest and good heart does not strut around longing to be the cock of the walk. It does not insist on being the top rooster in the chicken coop. A true servant of Jesus Christ will walk worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love. Now I ask you, friends, do you have an honest and good heart? If you have an honest and good heart, your heart is going to be receptive to the word of God. It's going to want to know the word of God. It's going to be submissive to the word of God. And rather than arguing with what Jesus commands, you're going to say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears command, I will obey. You're going to ask, Lord, what would you have me to do? And it's going to be an humble heart. In conclusion, let's understand that being a child of God begins with a heart that loves the Lord. If you truly love him with all your heart, you'll receive that word. You won't argue. You'll respond in obedience to the commands of the gospel, which include repentance from sin, Acts chapter 3 and verse 19. Repent and be converted. Turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. It also means that you're going to confess your faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Therefore, everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven, Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. You'll put Christ on in baptism and proudly wear him wherever you go. In Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27, the Bible says you're all the sons of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. Friends, the Lord has a lot to say about the honest and good heart. We don't want to have hearts that are hard. We don't want to have hearts that are crowded. We don't want to have hearts that are shallow so that the word of God can bring forth no fruit whatsoever. We want to have honest hearts. We want to have good hearts. Hearts that are receptive, hearts that are submissive, and hearts that are humble. Thank you very much. Good evening.
Thank you, my brother. We appreciate you so very much for the message tonight. A good and honest heart. That's what we wanted to, our listening audience to hear. It comes down to a person receiving the Word of God in their minds and truly believing that you must do exactly what it says. A good and honest heart. One who receives with meekness God's engrafted Word, which is able to save their souls. Be on the call tonight. You're not a member of the Church of Christ. We have put this call on with you in mind. We wanted you to know. We're looking for those people. We believe that those out there, there are those out there who are seeking to worship God in spirit and truth, and God is seeking you. For the Bible says, Jesus said, the hour coming and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Watch this now. For the Father seeketh such. There are those people out there who have a good and honest heart. If they want to know exactly what God has said to do. My friends, if you're on the call tonight, you're not a member of the Church of Christ. We're saying to you tonight that the Bible is right. If a one to obey the gospel, they must be born of the water and of the Spirit. Hearing that gospel, the good news of Jesus suffering on the cross of Calvary. Then believing that, without ever seeing him on that cross, believing that God's love for you was so great that his son would die for you. And believing that, then you too will respond in love and obedience to his will by being baptized for the remission of your sins, then knowing that there's only one church, the Church of Christ, the Lord would add you to. That's in your Bible. We want you to think about that. The saved are in the Church of Christ. And so tonight, if you're on the call, you say, I want to be saved, Brother Brooks. I'm one of those people who, I got a good and honest heart. I believe God's word. I just want to be saved. Let me tell you what to do. Get back with the person who invited you to the call tonight. They're members of the Church of Christ. They wanted you to hear this truth. Tell them you want to be baptized. Tell them you want to obey this simple truth. And then they will make the arrangements for you. Or if you have questions or you want us to talk more to you, go ahead and email me, nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. That's nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. If you want a Bible study, if you want to talk to our brothers who have spoken on the call, we want you to let us know. We will get you in touch with Brother Harper if he needs to talk to you directly, or we'll set up a Bible class. Where you are in the United States, or you're in our listening audience, we'll make sure we get a preacher to you to teach you these basic truths you need to know. Now, here's the thing. People are dying every day. With the COVID-19, God is plastering death all over the TV. People are dying. But it was Jesus who said, if you die in your sins where I am, you can't come. You got to obey the truth. If you got a good and honest heart, then obey the truth and become a member of the one true church, the Church of Christ, and live faithful unto death or to the point of death. And you will receive your crown of life. You'll make heaven your home. And so if you want to say, well, I'm not sure yet. I want to listen more. I want you to do this for me. Go to our website at hollandheightscoc.net. That's hollandheightscoc.net. And you go on there and listen to all those topics we have. Go on there, go to Nationwide Gospel Talk. Click on our sermon tab, and you see Nationwide Gospel Meeting Call. And all of our preachers since the month of May. If you want to know more about baptism, more about the one church, more about taking communion on Sunday, every Sunday, more about why we don't have instrumental music, all those topics are on our call. Go listen to them, rewind them, take notes, study it for yourself. And I'm confident if you have a good and honest heart, you will have no problem with our preachers and the messages we've taught this week. Let us pray to God for you. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your blessing. Thank you for loving the world. So you so loved the world that you gave your only son, your only begotten son. That is your son, Jesus the Christ. And it was him who lived among men for 33 years thereabout and died on that cross, executed by crucifixion. It was you, Father, who allowed him to die. It was him who obeyed your will. And we want to obey you as well. Thank you for your love. Thank him for his love. For he said, greater love had no man than this, that he laid down his life for his friend. Thank you for his church, which he purchased with his blood, the church of Christ. And thank you for the Bible, that we can read and find that straight and narrow way to make heaven our home. We pray for our visitors, Lord, and we pray that they have received tonight with meekness your engrafted word. We pray for those who have a good and honest heart, that they too will say, you know what, this call was for me. And providentially, you have provided to them, God, through us, allowing us to come into their home for 30 minutes to share with them the important message of what they must do to save their soul. It's our prayer that they will obey before it's everlasting and eternally too late. Father, we love you and we thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Join us tomorrow night. We appreciate everybody who's on the call tonight. Join us tomorrow night. You don't want to miss this. We're doing a heart surgery this week. The heart and heart. We looked at that. We looked at the serious conscience. We looked at the good and honest heart tonight. Brother Harper done a great job. Tomorrow night, Brother Eddie Sanders, he's going to come on and talk about the heart that's far from Jesus. There are some hearts, they believe they're saved, but they're a long ways away from being saved. Brother Sanders is going to talk about that. And then Brother Cotley is going to close us out. My friend, sound preacher, Memphis School of Preaching, Brother Collins is going to talk about how one obeys from the heart that form of doctrine, that certain teaching that one must obey in order to be saved. Don't miss it. You will miss out if you don't call in tomorrow night. I'm confident that you will, and I pray that you will continue. Thank you to all the members of the Church of Christ who have been supporting our call. Not only are you supporting our call, some of you are sending financial support, and we are not even asking for it. However, Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. We will take care of that and make sure it's used for the right purpose, and that is promoting this gospel meeting call and sharing it with a lost and dying world. We love all of you. I'm Brother Tommy Brooks, the host minister of this nationwide gospel meeting call, minister of the Highlands Church of Christ, located 1005 West of New York, in Houston, Texas. It is my prayer that you all will have a good night's rest. I pray for those who have not obeyed the gospel. There's no way to live in peace if you have not obeyed. Why don't you do that? Join us tomorrow night, 9 to 9:30. We're coming to your home. May God bless. Good night.